You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Happy Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Praise God. I'm getting ready to head into the weekend. What better way than to sit under the Word of God, as we're about to do here now. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Being a radio man that I have for over 20 years now, I love the idea, the fact, the truth that God is, he's always broadcasting. It's like the old days when you had a radio with a knob on it, and you're turning and turning, and you're searching for a voice, for something. So it is with the Word of God. He's always broadcasting. God always has a word for you. You can always know his will through the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you and through his word. Now, we're in the book of Revelation. We're going to wrap up this church here that's gone down in history as the compromising church. This will be the last part of that, heading into the weekend. This weekend, I invite you guys to church on Sunday morning. We'd love to see you. As I mentioned yesterday, we are in Hebrews chapter 12, where the author says and encourages us to lay aside every weight and the sin. So you see, the weight isn't necessarily sin. The weight is the baggage, perhaps, that you're carrying around with you. Things that are designed to prevent you from crossing the finish line. Lest we forget, you must cross the finish line in faith. There's no other option for you. Not crossing the finish line is failure, and it'll keep you out of heaven. Crossing the finish line, like Paul said, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And what's laid up for me now is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day. And not just me, but everyone who has loved his appearing, and I hope that that's you. There's a promise for all seven letters to all seven churches, for all of the pastors to read to these seven churches, and each one of them is a conditional promise. He says, for everyone out there that overcomes, I will do this. Seven different things, he says, to seven different churches. There's no other option for us, friend, than crossing the finish line in faith. Now, the author of Hebrews warns us about this. Matter of fact, let me turn there. This is where we're going to be here on Sunday morning. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the name of my sermon, Looking Unto Jesus. And along this road that we travel, you see, he's telling us to lay aside every weight. I think as runners, because he's referring to running a race here. He says the word race, Greek word agona, a marathon race, where our word agony comes from, this word. Lay aside every weight. Things like, well, if you're a runner, it's things like runners when they're preparing and exercising and working out, they wear ankle weights. A baseball player, when he's on the on-deck circle waiting to come up next, he has this thing they call a donut on his bat. It's a weight that he puts on his bat, and he practices with that. So when it's crunch time and when it's his turn to step up to the plate, he goes doink with that bat, off goes the donut, Up comes the batter, and now he's ready for action. The writer of Hebrews is saying the same thing to you and me. Throw off the weight that's dogging you, that is trying to prevent you from crossing the finish line in faith. Things like evil company, bad people that you have in your life. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, don't kid yourself, friend. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Bad people, bad friends, bad people that don't have your vision in mind, people that aren't Christian, man, you got to watch out. These people will, they want you to be miserable like they are, and that's why they're unhappy when you are happy. Miz, an old saying, misery loves company. Now, the author here is saying, he's warning us, don't let this happen to you. Don't let anyone get you off track. Don't let anyone take you off of this course, of this race. That's why the author here ultimately says to put on blinders here, like a horse about to run a race. And he says, looking unto Jesus. He's at the finish line. Your friends, your family members, maybe your grandma or your mom or your dad, and all of these saints of old, they're cheering you on. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. He says, cast off this stuff that's dogging you. Evil people that are trying to prevent you from crossing this finish line in faith. Man, oh man, perhaps it's time for you to cast off these weights and to run with hoopamone, endurance, perseverance. The race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. And, of course, he says, naturally, cast off the sin. Because, I mean, well, that goes without saying, right? Sin is an ankle weight. Sin is a donut on your bat. Sin will cause you to continually strike out and strike out and strike out, and you're batting like, you know, zero. There is no being sent down to the minors here, friend. You've got to cross this finish line in faith. The author again is saying, get these things out of your life. Throw off the weights that slow you down. Get rid of the sin that slows you down, that ensnares us like a trap. Not even that word is a trap. Satan's put leaves on it, you see. It's out there. He's put leaves on it. He's camouflaged it so that you can't see it. But once you step in that thing, then everyone runs by you in this race, and now you're left. Is that you today? Are you left sitting on your fanny with your foot caught in a trap? Lord God, I pray right now for all of these listeners. I pray for my extended family out here today. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that you would help people. I pray for your grace and mercy to intercede for people. Maybe there's someone right now whose foot is caught in a trap and they don't know how to get out of it. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would intercede, intervene in someone's life and help them to get their foot out of the trap. Help them to pick themselves up. We pray your word back to you that a righteous man picks himself up 7 times. Bless my family and friends out here. Help them to get back up. Help them to cast off this sin. I pray, Lord, that you would change the desires of people that have their foot caught in a trap so that sin will no longer taste good to them, but it'll make them want to throw up. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. I don't know why we went there, but if that's you, God is for you. If your name is in the book of life, if you've called on the name of the Lord Jesus, if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, then I'm here to tell you, friend, that God is for you and God is on your side. And may David's statement be your statement. We read in Psalm 56, verse 9, David said, speaking of God, he said, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. That's where we're going to be this Sunday. Maybe that is where you are here today. Reach out to the Lord. He is ready, willing, and able to help you. Matter of fact, we can't do it without his help. Now let's wrap up this last letter here, or actually this last church here that we're looking at. The Compromising Church, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Now to the pastor or the messenger of the church at Pergamos, right? These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. We looked at that these last couple days. That is the sword that comes out of his mouth. Remember, when he comes back, he's going to slay the unbelievers with the sword of his tongue. That all he has to say is the same thing that he said before. From peace be still to little girl, I say to you, arise, to Lazarus come forth, to let no fruit ever grow on you ever again. Those same words that speak life and death will at this time say, drop dead. Where is that in the Bible? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And the Lord Jesus, when he comes riding back from heaven on a white horse, Revelation chapter 19, you read the same thing as well. So that he starts with a description of himself. These things are thus says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Now he commends them for what they're doing right. I know your works. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr. All right, yesterday we looked at this. Notice he didn't say you hold fast to your faith. He says you hold fast to my faith, because we looked at, and I always encourage you to get these verses right, to read your, use a King James Version Bible to get these things right. And that is, read verses like Philippians 1:29, Galatians 2:16, Romans 3:21, Philippians 3:9. And those verses, you'll read that your faith is a gift, that it's the faith of Jesus Christ. He has given you his faith. That enables you to believe. You believe because God has given you faith. That is how Paul said not everyone has it. And I would say, look around, watch the news, open up your eyes. You'll find 6 billion people out here in the world, certainly that don't have it. But God's been good to you, and you do have it. I just want you to see, faith is not something you conjured up, you dreamed up, you thought up on your own. It's not something that you just got around to doing. I guess I'll call or believe in the man upstairs. No, your faith is a gift. God's given it to you as a gift. This should make you want to return and give glory to God, like the leper that got healed. Healed them, only one person returns. Jesus said, where, pray tell, where are the other nine? I healed 10 of you. Where are the other nine? Has only one of you returned to give glory to God? Aren't you grateful? Are you grateful that you have got the gift of faith and there's 6 billion people out here in the world that don't? Look at how he's coming back. I think soon, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel. That should make you want to just return, give glory to God, praise him for who he is, praise him for what he's done, praise him that you have the gift of faith. Now, let's go on here with this letter. I know your works. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. Satan hangs his hat here in the Compromising Church. Satan hangs his hat, and his minions do, and all these places that are the Compromising Church. When you compromise the core doctrine and belief in Jesus Christ, you're giving into the devil here. When you're turning from who Jesus is, we're not talking about what kind of music you have at church. We're not talking about what denomination you are. He's talking about compromise, turning from who Jesus is, that he's the Son of God, that he lived a sinless life, that God took a body. Remember, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That means turning from and compromising from the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Turning from these things are compromised. Not what kind of music you have, not whether or not you go to a charismatic church or a Baptist church or a Lutheran or a Methodist. Ah, but you see now, people are leaving Methodist and Presbyterian churches in droves. Why? Because they are compromising. They're letting sin in the door. They're compromising in order to get along with society. They're compromising the truth of the Word of God in order to get along with people. They compromise to get along with the government, especially in Europe and overseas. They compromise because they let the government, you see, build their churches, and they compromise. They got these beautiful golden churches, and the only problem is there ain't anyone on the inside of them anymore because they've compromised the truth in order to get along. So we're not talking about these other little things. Compromising is turning from who Jesus is. And compromising from what God calls sin, that is compromise. And that's his problem, and that's what we're going to read next, what the Lord has a problem with in this church. Verse 14, he says, I've got a few things against you. And now both of these he's going to list are both similar type compromises. He says, I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who, now he's going to tell you what this compromise was, who taught Balak. Now you have to read the book of Numbers to go back and read originally what he means, but certainly it's still ongoing today. The theme of what he's talking about was still ongoing, and that's this, putting a stumbling block before the children of God to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Well, that might be hard to commit here in this country, eating things sacrificed to idols, but I had someone from India in my church a few years ago, last time I preached this, and I said, I don't find any relevance, and he took me aside afterwards and said, this is a big thing in India and in other countries. That's a serious problem. There might not relate to us. And then the second thing we certainly naturally can relate to, a spiritual leader who tells you it's okay to commit sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is any sexual relations outside of marriage, and marriage is between a man and a woman. Anything else is compromised. That's the truth of the Word of God. As we're about to read in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 13, it says your marriage bed needs to be undefiled, and fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. There's no compromise from that. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Anything else is compromise, and the Lord tells you right here how he thinks about it. I've got a few things against you, because you have there those that hold to this doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel and to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So you heard it right from the Lord's mouth, right to you here on this Friday, the 27th of June, 2025. Jesus hates compromise. This doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, the Nicolaitans, we believe, is the one of the very first deacons of the church you can read about in Acts chapter 6. Now, as history has it, this guy fell away from the faith and he started teaching this free living, that it didn't matter anymore how you lived, and it didn't matter if you sinned because your spirits were saved, and it didn't matter what you did in your Bible and your body was inconsequential. How you lived really didn't matter. It's just the spirit man in you that mattered, and that is heresy to the uttermost. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're warned repeatedly how to live. The Apostle Paul taught about it. We warned repeatedly. Read Romans chapters 6 and 7. Galatians chapter 2. The flesh wars against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. These things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you would. That was his problem there. Still exists today, obviously. Then he tells them in verse 16, he gives them the solution, and that is repent or else. Repent, turn from this, or else. Or else I will come to you quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Remember, he's writing this to the pastor. He's telling the pastor to repent of their sins. This is going on in under this pastor's watch here. Turn, repent of this sin, or else, he says, repent, or else I will come to you and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. All he has to do is speak it. Let no fruit grow on you ever again. Now, those are words, friends, that you never want to hear from the Son of God. Let no fruit ever grow on you ever again. Then he says, verse 17, I want to wrap up today's program with this great truth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on that stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who received it. This was one of the great, you know, every time I teach through this book, God is so faithful, and he always keeps his word, and he promises. This is when we started this. I said, this is the only book out of all 66 in the Bible that God promises you a blessing if you read it. If you can hear the words here, remember we just said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Not everyone's going to hear this. Not everyone's going to take it to heart. When Jesus says, I hate this kind of stuff, don't compromise. Don't turn from the core doctrine and the truth of the Christian faith. Not everyone's got ears to hear that. If you do got ears to hear it, then you make the change and make it right. But this is what we learned last time around when I was preaching through this. He who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. Hidden manna. That is, this is food. We read in Psalm 78, verse 25. It's angels' food, and it's been hidden. And I love that. This is in the perfect tense in Greek, meaning it's something that's happened in the past. He says, when it reads here, haven't been hidden. That's in the perfect. Like when he said, it is finished. Or it is written, a verb in the perfect tense is something that's happened in the past that you still feel the effects of in the here and now and in the future. If you remember your Old Testament, manna was this heavenly food that God provided for his people while they were in the wilderness. Now, I believe that this means that for all of us, who refuse to obey this last government. Because remember, this is a government. This is the mark of the beast is from the government. It's a political mark in order to buy or sell. For all of us who refuse to obey this last government and to receive a mark in his future in order to buy or sell, I believe that this means that God is going to provide food for his elect. And food that has been hidden. He's just said it. It's hidden. Ages ago. It's just like these people that here at our church in the sign, in our sign out front, there was one of these hidden little Pokemons in there. You know, where this video game where these little Pokemons are hidden and you had to go around. And I used to watch people walking around here, pulling over in their car, searching by the sign, and they'd find this Pokemon hidden in the church sign. Well, Jesus is saying that he's got something hidden as well. And it's food for everyone that says no to the government in the end of the age. Remember, when we get to chapter 11, it says no rain falls during the days of their prophecy, 1,260 days. And Jesus says to you today, behold, I've got some food hidden. Just like a Pokemon here that no one knows about. But when you trust God, and when you say no to this end times antichrist and false prophet and image of the beast, just like God's storeroom of hell up in heaven waiting for that day, God has also prepared food from long ago for all of the overcomers out there in the world that are going to be around at that time. Jesus is saying to you, friend, that he's got a plan. He's got a plan for this. Get out of the boat. Trust him in the face of adversity and tribulation. And he's got hidden for everyone out here and alive during this time. He says, to everyone who overcomes, I will give to them some of the hidden manna. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're at a time. Last thing he said was a white stone with a new name written that no one knows except him who receives it. A white stone was what the judge used to give people when they were acquitted of a crime. You turn the stone over, and on the back of it were the words, not guilty. You're listening to WGOD Radio. I'd love to see you guys at church this weekend. We'll be back again Monday, probably with Sunday's sermon, Monday and Tuesday, then back again in the book of Revelation. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.